And good morning again. It's a pleasure to be with you. This mic's a little floppy. Pleasure to be with you this Sunday. And on this Labor Day weekend, I have a message for you about consumption. More specifically, I would like for us all to consider the impact cultural narratives about consumption, about capitalism and society might have on us individually and collectively. I've titled my message, Why We Shouldn't Keep Up with the Joneses, and I hope it stimulates some thought and self-reflection for all of us about the impact our economic lives have. The idiom, keeping up with the Joneses, comes from a British comic strip that ran 1913 to 1939, and the phrase has since entered many parts of the language and many parts of the English-speaking world, as a means of referring to the process by which one compares yourself and your family to that of your neighbors, concerned that they may outdo you economically. And today I would like to suggest that you, me, all of us, would be better off expunging that phrase from our mouths, but more importantly, the idea behind it from our minds. And there's more than one good reason to do that. Please allow me to review those reasons with you today. One reason we should not care about what the Joneses are up to is that it is healthy for us to do so and will, in all likelihood, make us happier. It is healthier to us psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, socially, domestically, ecologically, and I'm sure I could go on. When we compare ourselves to others based on material wealth, several life-detracting things happen, and they detract from our overall happiness. So the first life-detracting thing that happens when we compare is that we mistake outward signs of material success as indications of happiness and well-being. However, as global polls demonstrate year after year from credible places like Forbes and Gallup, there's not always a correlation between wealth and happiness. If we placed two lists side by side, the wealthiest nations on earth, the happiest nations on earth, they don't coincide very often. Now, admittedly, there's problems with global indicators and polls of this sort, but I think they do indicate on a grand level what many of us can observe at the micro level around us. Material wealth and personal health and well-being are not an automatic pairing. Human beings reckon our happiness in more ways than just material. Now, please don't get me wrong, I'm not attempting to say that material wealth does not matter. Of course economics matters. Of course it matters whether we have enough to survive or not. But economics is not the only thing that matters. Community matters. Family matters. Our emotional, psychological, and spiritual well-being matters. Quality time with those we love matters. And while economics might intersect with those things, or make some of them easier, acquiring more stuff is not a substitute for any of them. The second life-detracting thing that happens when we compare ourselves to others is that it generates a gulf of unhappiness between where that person is that we're comparing to, or at least where they appear to be, and where we are, or at least where we imagine we ought to be. Dissatisfaction can be the only result when you compare yourself to another who has more of something that you think you need to have more of, but that something is difficult to come by. Now, if you have more pebbles than me, I can probably rectify that pretty easily, right? We can all get more pebbles. But some things in life, like wealth, are not, right? Obviously, that's not easy to come by. Sure, some people have great wealth fall in their lap, but there's nothing normative about that kind of an experience. Since wealth is not easy to come by, comparing myself to those who are wealthier than I am is not likely to take me to a happy place. Such comparisons will interfere with my ability to appreciate what I do have. It'll always make my economic glass seem half empty, or at least never full enough. So, some people have bigger houses than the rest of us. So what? How many rooms or how much square footage can you use at one time anyway? Do you have a place to live? That alone, as we just learned in our offering, that alone is something to already be grateful for. So if my needs for shelter are being met, will more square footage make me happier? Better? Somehow a superior human being? What do I gain from a bigger house aside from a perception of increased economic status by others? And what is that worth, really? A large house may look lovely and grand on the outside, and one might fantasize about having one like it, but the facade of the house tells us nothing of the people within it. There may be deep suffering in that house, abuse, depression, addiction, alienation, job dissatisfaction, marital strife. Similarly, the outward facade of a nicely dressed, bejeweled, and seemingly economically successful individual tells us nothing of their inner self. Perhaps they are deeply suffering and living with one or another kind of internal poverty. Wealth on the outside does not provide wealth or health on the inside. But let's imagine for a moment we've got ourselves an individual, a couple, a family, and they do manage to keep up with the Joneses and upgrade their lifestyle. They get a bigger house. They get a more expensive car or more cars and other toys, expensive toys like jet skis, snowmobiles, more clothes. Get the idea? But now my larger house has a larger mortgage. More cars or more expensive cars bring bigger car payments, higher insurance, more gas. Soon I, or if I'm in a couple or a family, us, have to stay in our jobs to get the pay raises, even if our happiness in those jobs has changed over time. My lifestyle doesn't allow me to downgrade my paycheck any longer. Perhaps I have to work overtime, or another job, or miss family events. Maybe later in life, I'll feel as though I missed my child grow up. Maybe I have to go into credit card debt to maintain that seeming facade as we economically overreach. One could easily, in that kind of a scenario, reach a point of stagnation where you feel trapped, dragged down by your lifestyle and your stuff. You could end up feeling handcuffed to the stuff, to the upkeep of the stuff, the debt that accompanies the stuff, and the maintenance of that overall facade of prosperity for the outside world. One might very well end up looking successful on the outside. What have I gained on the inside? This would be particularly true if I never stopped keeping up with the Joneses, but simply change which Joneses I compare myself to. Perhaps I started my adulthood with a lower class or lower middle class reference point. Then once I got there, I moved to a middle class Joneses. Then once I got there, an upper middle class Joneses or an upper class, you get the idea. So it was once an adequate 1,000 square foot home I started with in my young adulthood, later needs to become a 2,000, then a 3,000. And I'd spend my whole life dreaming about that 4,500 square foot home, and I never get there. But I spend my whole life striving for it, feeling unhappy and down on myself because I never got there. Other people have. Right? Look at that, Joneses. So why didn't I? Before you know it, you're caught in a loop of conspicuous consumption and overconsumption because you're constantly trying to keep up and you never get there. There will always be more Joneses and more wealth to be had. What if instead I had stopped the entire cycle by being happy with what I have and where I am. I could have saved myself a lifetime of angst. Some clergy and psychologists have remarked that this constant wishing to have as much as others has brought about a collective exhaustion among Americans. It's tiring and frustrating to constantly strive for something you feel you never achieve. So I imagine many of you may already be thinking, keeping up with the Joneses directly stems from the myth of the American dream. The American dream suggests that freedom and hard work provide the opportunity for prosperity, success, and upward mobility for anyone. But this cultural narrative, as cherished as it is for many Americans, is indeed a fallacy. As we well know, there are structural limitations that provide uneven access to education, jobs, socioeconomic opportunities, and mobility. While legally, everyone who is a native-born citizen, permanent resident, and over the age of 35 can become president, we all know not anyone can or will become president. Only wealthy, politically connected, Christian, straight, male, though that may soon change, and until recently white, individuals actually became the president. Just like longing to be like the Joneses, the myth of the American dream sets us up for unhappiness by generating unrealistic expectations that do not align with our current reality or our society's structural problems regarding class and race and gender. Sure, we can all point to exceptional stories of upward mobility and success, but such stories are beyond the norm, they're not the norm. Now, again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting we should not dream or strive or work hard. We should, we must imagine a different future for ourselves and our society. We should challenge structures and the cultural narratives that undergird them. Change does happen, and sometimes dreams just do come true. But there are also times to self-examine ourselves and consider what role we play within cultural narratives and structures. When we constantly upgrade our expectations for more things, bigger things, more opulent things, we are contributing to the narrative of capitalism and its reliance on overconsumption. We receive constant messages about how our teeth aren't white enough, our mattress isn't comfortable enough, our car not luxurious enough, our meals not convenient enough, our personality not sociable enough, and on and on. And God bless America, there's a product for every one of our shortcomings. So we buy more only to realize that our upgraded life requires more products and things to become, quote, better again. And all the while, there remains a gap between what we're able to achieve and what we believe we ought to have achieved instead. Those outer accomplishments, then, come at a cost to our inner health. And additionally, let us not forget that those outer things come at a social, spiritual, and ecological cost as well. Gaining more things requires more resources, more energy to produce and transport them. When we gain more things, we dispose of the old, often perfectly good things, because they're now beneath our lifestyle. Bigger cars and homes require more resources to make and more energy to maintain. And when we take more, someone, somewhere else, just may suffer the cost of our choices as we've left less behind for others. Carbon emissions from fossil fuels, through greater energy demands, or from gas-guzzling vehicles, impacts everyone. The selfish usage of energy, water, resources leaves less for the rest of the world and produces more pollution. In this sense, striving to improve our outward economic appearance is not just about our inner health. The choices we make ripple outward and have real ecological impacts on the earth and the lives of others around the world. Honoring our place in the interconnected web of life, living simply so others may simply live, are both real things and not just slogans. They are within our power to choose or not through the lifestyle choices that we make. So rather than directing an envious gaze at those of greater economic means or keeping up with the Joneses, perhaps we should remind ourselves to direct our energies to combating structures and empowering those of lesser means to find a place to simply have adequate means. Using our spare wealth to help change systems and bring about socioeconomic equality will, I can almost guarantee, pay greater dividends of many kinds than the sort overconsumption can. I encourage you to keep these thoughts in mind the next time you find yourself marveling at the glamorous lifestyle of a celebrity, envying the home of the tycoon up the road, or craving the product you saw in an ad that will surely improve your life. It may not simply be the little economic price that you pay when you keep up with the Joneses. The hidden psychological, emotional, ecological, and human costs may carry a far heavier price tag in the long run and may be greater than you, your fellow human beings, or the earth can afford. Thank you.